Hello and welcome to our podcast. This is me, Artie. Hi, and my bestie, Marsh.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So today we are doing weird facts again. Since the last episode got a bit corrupted, we'll add something new, perhaps? Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay, I guess I'll start with a little short one. It's quite wholesome. So, okay.
Okay.
British military tanks are equipped to make tea. There's a boiling vessel inside so crew can make tea and coffee anytime, including during battle. How frightfully English it is.
Oh my god, that is amazing.
It is amazing. I wish it was in all tanks, you know, it would make military duty a bit less scary.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice cup of tea when you're overwhelmed.
Or a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, I guess you do it. Yeah.
Yee, it's my turn. Let me... Yeah. Okay. So, dinosaurs actually had feathers.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's historically proven that some dinosaurs had feathers, so they're basically the first prehistoric chicken.
Whoa, okay. I mean, now I understand why chickens are considered descendants of dinosaurs. But okay.
Chickens are considered descendants of dinosaurs?
You didn't know that?
No?
That's a weird thing I learned, like, two-ish years ago. Like, I think history, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I mean, in theory, I think I already know that, because I watched, what was it called? Ice Age, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, mine. I don't know if I saw the previous episode, but researchers once turned a live cat into a telephone. Stay with me on this one. Brington researchers Ernest Waver and Charles Bray took out a cat's skull and most of its brain to connect the animal to electricity. When they spoke into the cat's ear, the sound could be heard through a phone receiver in another room. The twisted experiment paved the way for cochlear implant developments. So, yeah.
What the fuck?
Twisted, I know.
I'm malfunctioning.
I mean, at least we got cochlear cochlear implants from them, so, you know. At least there's a bonus.
I mean, yeah, but like, holy shit.
Yeah. Okay, your turn. Let's not dwell on this one.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on that one either. Jesus Christ, bestie.
I know it's messed up.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a tiny bit. Nothing too much. It's not like we listen to murder mystery.
Of course not. I mean, my next fact isn't exactly, much better.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Continue.
This fact, at least for me, just proves that, God doesn't exist. Because I actually learned this fact from the book I'm currently reading, which is a detailed retelling of Jeffrey Dahmer's crimes.
Ooh.
At the start, or like somewhere in the middle of his killing spree, he like kidnapped and killed this one Latino guy whose name I sadly do not remember. But like a couple of years later, towards the end of his killing spree, he kidnapped another Latino guy, and it turned out to be the other victim's brother.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. And like he said that it wasn't planned, which I don't think it was, but what the fuck is what are the chances?
What are the chances? Yeah.
Like, what how do you just, like, kidnap and kill brothers?
I know, like...
And, like, WTF. Years apart from each other.
Yeah. Okay. My little fun fact is, again, a short one and related to this time to Scotland. Because apparently it has more than 400 words for snow.
What?!
Yeah, there are a lot of weird facts out there, but, you know, this one was one of the, I think, wholesomest weird ones. Like, 400 words for snow? What the fuck? Who thought of them?
Who gives an award for snow?
Like, 400 words. Okay.
Why?
Exactly. That's my question. Okay. Your turn.
Yeah, my turn. So, originally, I'm assuming that you know the concept of bars.
Obviously.
Well,
not that I've been to one, but I know
the concept. I've heard about them.
I know that. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes. Well, the way that bars, like, essentially, originated was the fact that, like, before the Renaissance, they didn't really have buildings to, like, watch theater performances, so they used to make these little, like, not shacks, but, like, kind of, like, stages that you can, like, transport. I don't know how to explain it, but when buildings, for theater performances became a thing, like, they used to put on these, like, really dramatic, like, theater performances. It was usually, like, Shakespeare or Hamlet or something. They started, like, selling alcohol there. So people would go there to watch theater performances and get drunk. But nowadays people go to bars to get drunk and watch football. So it's essentially the same thing.
I mean, yeah. But then again, there are also some bars that are meant, you know, for not so family-friendly things.
Oh, wow. Were we really going there?
I'm going there. I mean, I've never been to one. Not that I could.
Me neither.
But,
yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Do you know what the word bonobo means?
What word?
Bonobo.
No.
Okay, in basic terms, it is a common name for apes.
What?
But as it turns out, the name bonobo resulted from a misspelling. Bonobo,
no, sure.
The common name for apes, may sound like some sort of translation of a meaningful term, but in fact, it was the result of a typo. Researchers reputedly first found the animals in the town of Bolobo, Zari, in the 20s, but the name of the place was misspelled to Bonobo on the shipping crate in which the animal was placed, leaving others to refer the animal by the name, which stuck.
Damn.
I know. I mean, huh. It could have been me who honestly misspelled it because I'm so bad at English.
For real?
Like,
I mean,
grammar is not my friend.
Like, grammar can be challenging, but, like, imagine being the person who misspelled that word, and now you're just reminded of your mistake for, like, the rest of time.
Yeah.
The more, like, dude, if someone reminded me one of my mistakes, I would be fucking pissed.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so my next one is, like, kind of a short one, but people, like, subconsciously, without knowing, most of the time, if they're, like, adopting a dog, they adopt a dog that kind of looks like them.
What in the creepypasta is that?
No, because, like, like, people, like, most of the time, not, like, every single time, they get a dog that, like, kind of looks like them, but it's a dog. Like, I have had so many instances where I'm walking down the street and, like, someone's walking past me with a dog, and I'm like, that person looks like their dog.
Oh, I mean,
have you never noticed that?
Not really, but essentially, there is this thing in psychology. I'm not referencing any, like, type of romance with animals, but hear me out. In psychology, essentially, we are more attracted to people who look like ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially that. And I guess with dogs, we just choose as a pet for something that looks, like, familiar to us, right? And essentially, we would know them because, you know, psychology and that. It's fun.
Yeah. And also, that's probably why there's a trend on the internet called siblings are dating.
Probably. Okay. This is a fun one, which I would like to be a part of. It's a festival. There is an annual coffee break festival. For millions of people, the coffee break is a key, but often underappreciated part of each day. To stop and give the break its proper due, the town of Stockton, Wisconsin, Wisconsin hosts an annual coffee break festival. The gathering includes coffee tasting, brew offs, and bean spitting contests. Why Stockhut? I can't say it. I don't think I'm saying it right. According to the city officials, the coffee break was quote unquote born in the city in the late 1800s as women working at local Gunderson tobacco warehouses began the ritual of pausing during the workday to brew up some coffee and have a chat.
That honestly sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing, and I would love to be part of that festival. Can we bring it here to Latvia, please?
Oh my god, yes. Also, I know where you got these from, because I was looking at the same website.
Calling me out.
Yes, I am calling you out. Well,
what? They're perfectly summarized there. I don't want to do so. I have no damage research. I don't have that much time on my hands.
I mean, neither do I. We're busy people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Your turn.
Yeah. Since we were looking for, like, weird facts on the same fucking website, I'm assuming you also saw this one, but cotton candy was invented by a dentist.
No, I actually did not see that.
Oh. Well, cotton candy as a concept was first introduced in 1904, and it was created by two dentists. And the original name was actually Fairy Floss.
It makes sense. I've heard the name Fairy Floss before, too. Trivia shit.
Yeah, and then, I think in Britain, they use the term candy floss for cotton candy.
Interesting. Well.
So, yeah.
I think I sort of knew that, but I didn't know they were created by two doctors. So, you know.
By the doctors.
The doctors. And yes. Candy floss is now considered one of the most unhealthiest things for your teeth.
It's literally sugar.
Exactly. Okay. I don't know if you saw this, but the largest padlock in the world weighs 916 pounds. Which, let me Google how much kilograms that is. hold on. I don't know how much pounds or kilograms. Which is 415 kilograms.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Created by a team of students and teachers at the Pavlovo Arts College in Russia, the largest padlock in the world, according to the Guinness World Records, measures 56.8 inches tall and 41.3 inches wide and 10.2 inches deep altogether. Altogether, this heavy lock, including key, weighs 916 pounds. Whatever it's protecting, it presumably weighs a whole lot more than what it is protecting. Yeah.
Well,
I think I need that lock, honestly. I don't want my parents going through my room, and, you know, a lock like that could be challenging to unlock.
Yeah, my question now is, why was it made?
That is an excellent question, but presumably because it is Russia. I assume they had some ulterior motive.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway. I like how you're saying, all these, cool, interesting facts, and then my next fact was literally that, a water fountain could be richer than you.
Than me?
Because listen, than anyone, honestly, because here is the thing. The amount of money that is thrown into water fountains to make a wish is a lot. I don't remember the exact number, but I believe it was in the millions.
Jesus. Whoa, voice crack. Jesus Christ. I mean...
But, it makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah. Really, it does make sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, my turn, which is quite an interesting one. Squirrels, apparently, are behind most power outages in the United States. The American Public Power Association says that squirrels are the most frequent cause of power outages in the U.S. The APA even developed a data tracker called the Squirrel Index that analyzes the patterns and timing of squirrels' impact on electrical power systems. Turns out, the peak times of the year for squirrel attacks are from May to June and October to November. Yeah.
Well, that's a fun one.
It is. But imagine.
I'm not really sure how to respond.
I mean, imagine how the squirrels are causing those power outages. They're probably chewing through those cables. And when I think about that, I can only imagine like in a cartoon way, when a squirrel bites into the electrical cable, they get electrocuted.
Oh,
in like
my
the
God.
Most cartoon in most con- cartoon cartoon theme ever. Like,
oh my God.
I automatically think of like Tom and Jerry type stuff.
No, because I know what you mean. My parents used to, like, call me a squirrel when I was a child.
Why? Were you biting through electrical table?
I wasn't. I think it was because, like, when I was in fourth grade, I got a role in, like, a school Christmas play as, like, a squirrel or something.
Squirrel.
But also, I ate a lot.
Squirrels don't eat a lot.
Yeah, but the chubby cheeks.
Ah, chubby cheeks. There's nothing wrong with chubby cheeks.
They're cute. They're very cute.
They're absolutely adorable. My little sister, oh my God, when she was baby, she had the most chubby cheeks ever. Like, they were so, like, squishy and round.
Like, oh, that's so cute.
It's adorable. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Your turn, I guess.
Yeah, scientists discovered, like, an underwater organism with a, quote, disappearing butt.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so, the official name for this thing is the comb jelly. Also known as the watery comb jelly, which is like a sea walnut. I don't know what a sea walnut is, but it apparently exists. And in short terms, it has a disappearing ass.
Whoa. Disappearing ass.
And, the only time when the ass is visible is when it's taking a shit.
I mean, makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know why I find it so amusing.
It's kind of funny.
It is funny. Okay, I have one. You might have actually heard about this. But apparently, a woman who lost her wedding ring found it 16 years later on a carrot in her garden.
I have heard of this one.
I mean, I heard of this one too, but it's fun to read it. A woman in Sweden lost her wedding ring while cooking for Christmas in 1995. She looked everywhere for it and even had her kitchen floor pulled up, hoping she could find it, but she wouldn't see it again until 2012. While gardening 16 years later, the woman found the ring around a carrot that was sprouting in the middle of it. The only explanation was that the ring must have been lost in vegetable peeling that were turned into compost. Clearly, composting isn't just good for the environment.
That's pretty lovely.
Yeah, that is lovely. Okay, you got one.
Yeah, I do have one. This is more of like a fun history fact. Sorry if my mic picked that up. I needed to readjust my earbud because it fucking hurt.
I didn't hear shit. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Lovely. So, one of my, this is going into personal territory, but one of my, like, favorite artists of all time, it's like a really basic answer, but it's Leonardo da Vinci. And
obviously.
He was not a big fan of the church.
Who is? Honestly, exactly. Who is a big fan of the church? Like, if I would step
a
foot in there, I would burn.
Exactly, same. No, literally, the one time I went to church, I made fun of the paintings they had there.
I mean, I'm not really an art type of guy, but just knowing that it's the church and our country's history with the church might send me down of extreme criticism.
Yeah, and most of the paintings that are used in church are, like, before Renaissance, which was a time period where they didn't know what the fuck proportions or perspective was. Anyway, I mean, back to Leonardo.
I mean, I don't know either what are either, so, you know, I'm not an artist.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, continuing.
Okay, back to Leonardo. So, amongst his many artistic achievements, one of the things that, like, people don't really give him credit for is that one time the church actually recruited him to paint, like, murals on the ceiling of, like, little cherub angel babies. And he painted one of the little angel babies pointing up two middle fingers.
I think I've actually seen that painting.
Yeah, it's great.
It looks amazing. I think I have seen it somewhere. I don't remember where, though.
But yeah, but it's so good. Truly an icon. And he was iconic. Gay, so.
He was?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So, like, this is going into, like, art history, but, his, like, original, like, concept of how anatomy works, he made, like, this portrait that I'm assuming that you've probably seen, where it's like a man that, like, has a circle around him, and he has, like, arms, like, it's kind of like in a starfish pose. I'll send
you it later. I think I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. So he made that, and he probably, like, used his lover as a reference photo, like a reference to, like, draw it.
Ooh.
So yeah, he was gay.
He was gay. Okay.
And that's also the reason why he didn't like the church very much.
I mean, that's the reason I don't like church. It's sadly, incredibly, still homophobic.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a fun little one.
Ooh.
Blood donors in Sweden receive a text when their blood isn't used. Blood is used.
Interesting.
I know. To encourage more young people to donate blood, I'm gonna butcher this. Sahlgrenska University Hospital in Gothenburg, Sweden, sends a text to donors when their blood has been dispensed to someone in need. A common issue with blood donation, along with other types of charitable donations, is that if a donor doesn't know the recipient, it's hard to convince them that donating is worth it. But with this system, which started in 2012, potential donors in Sweden have proved that their contribution is going in good use.
Hmm.
We should have that in Latvia.
We really should, because it would be really nice.
It would be really nice.
I want to see a picture of the person that would be getting my blood.
Yeah, and then judge them, or, like... This is gonna be a bit mean, but like, find them online and DM them asking them for money because you saved their lives.
For real. Or I want the hospital to show the person my picture.
Oh, I know where you're going. I think I know where you're going with this.
Because, like, in real life, if you haven't seen my Instagram that we usually have linked, I kind of look insane. I have green hair, I have a septum piercing, I dress like I'm homeless yet rich at the same time.
No, you look like a goth fairy.
Oh my god, thank you!
I mean, the best way I can describe it, have you watched, what was it called? Shadow and Bone. No, not Shadow and Bone. Hold on. Let me quickly find it. It's on Netflix if you have it.
I do have Netflix.
I do too. I'm sharing with Masato, Rin, and Sammy.
Oh, that's lovely. I just ran into Rin today, actually.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. Where is it? Shadowhunters, have you seen it?
No, but I can look it up.
It's okay, essentially this TV show, I liked it. It was really good, but the ending was a bit meh. Anyways, I can describe you as a seal, as a, what would they call it? Sealies from Shadowhunters.
I will definitely look up what those look like, and I'm already flattered.
Like, you give me that type of vibe. When you find them, I think you'll know.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. But originally where I was going with this, like, imagine, like, some poor old lady is, like, getting my blood, and then they show her a picture of me.
Yeah, and she's gonna go into, like, in a Karen tantrum and's gonna be like, no, I don't want her blood, take it out!
Yeah, or, like, she would, like, have heart palpitations.
Okay.
So, my fun little fact, the fastest man in the world, which is Usain Bolt, actually has a scoliosis.
I mean, most of the world's population have scoliosis.
That's true, but I also have scoliosis. But, like, since he's an athlete, you would expect that, like, he has, like, pretty good physical, like, he has a pretty good physical condition, like, he's physically, you know, all good.
Yeah.
But no, his spine, as he says, is really curved.
I mean, most good athletes have, I think, scoliosis. You said it was the fastest runner?
Yeah.
And I think in, like, a physics perspective, it does make a bit more, it does make a little sense.
I mean, yeah, like, a lot of athletes have, like, a lot of different problems.
Yeah, there are even some athletes who are diabetics, which I think is lovely. Okay. So, my turn. Okay. this is gonna be a bit like 18 plus-ish, like adultish, so I'll try to not make it as extreme. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just kind of self-loving. Okay. You're more likely to get a computer virus from visiting religious sites than porn sites.
What? Oh, wait! What?
Okay. According to research from security firm Symantec, religious websites carry 3 times more malware threats than pornography sites. Symantec found that the average number of security threats on religious sites was around 115 compared to adult content sites, which carried around 25. In fact, only 2.4% of adult eyes were infected with malware. The researchers hypothesized that because porn sites need to generate a profit, so there's a financial incentive to keep them virus-free to encourage repeated business.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's fun.
Just imagine, like, imagine for a second that you are safer browsing, let's say, BDSM porn than going on a religious website and reading all about Jesus.
I mean, I guess I'll do the obvious one.
Oh my god, bestie, you scandalous.
I know, I'm scandalous. I mean, I'm trying to pull, and I'll take any chance I get.
Me too. Okay, I've noticed that I'm doing a lot of art history facts.
I mean, it's interesting, so...
I mean, yeah. So, like, in the art world, it's, like, when you look at, like, historic paintings, in a lot of them, you often see, like, paintings of different kinds of fruit. And
yeah.
The reason for that is, like, especially with lemons, I don't know why lemons specifically, but... different painters and different artists used to make paintings of, like, fruit, including lemons, to show off how good they are at painting.
Huh.
Painting a lemon was basically, like, a flex. Like, peeled, cut, none, just a regular lemon, that was a flex. I
can
think it's
paint
maybe...
paint a lemon.
You want me to paint a lemon?
Can you paint a lemon?
I mean, I think I haven't really sought out to paint a lemon, but if I tried to, I could.
Then paint a lemon.
Okay, I will. I will. Jesus. But like...
Jesus has nothing to do with it, honey.
Oh, no, you're right, you're right. He needs to stay out of this goddamn painting. Like, oh my god. Mm.
Okay. It's mine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think this little fact is more well known than the previous ones. Okay. The inventor of the Pringles can is now buried in one.
I have heard this one, but continue.
In 1966, Frederick Bauer developed the ingenious idea of Procter & Gamble to uniformly stack chips inside a can instead of tossing them in a bag. Bauer was so proud of his invention that he wanted to take it to the grave, literally. He communicated his burial wishes to his family, and when he died at the age of 89, his children stopped at Walgreens on the way to the funeral home to buy his burial Pringles can. They did have one decision to make, though. Quote, "My siblings and I briefly debated what flavor to use," end of quote.
Oh my Bauer's god!
Bauer's eldest son, Larry, told Time, quote, "But I said, look, we need to use the original," end quote. Frederick Bauer, an American classic.
Wow.
I mean, props to him.
For real.
Yeah.
I mean, if I invented something I was really proud of, I would also like to be, like,
Take it to the grave.
Yes.
Okay.
Imagine how fun that would be. An open casket.
Really, yeah.
An open casket with a Pringles can.
God.
Jesus. No, Jesus needs to stay out of this one too.
Yeah, you're right. He does.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry. So this is another fruit one. I guess I have a theme.
I guess you're hungry. But
maybe I am. I am currently drinking actually I'm drinking fruit juice right now, so I guess it's a sign.
It is
a sign. Apples, peaches, and raspberries are all actually members of like the rose family, which means that they basically have similarities to a rose.
I mean, I knew that. I am a biology major after all.
Well, I am not, and I didn't. Fine, yeah, if you're a biology major, then you must have known this one too. Us as human beings are 2 chromosomes away from being a potato.
What? I did not know that.
No, because like...
Only 2?
Yes, because humans, as you probably know, have 46 chromosomes, and potatoes have 48.
God.
Mm-hmm.
From a potato. Oh, that's good.
You're 2 chromosomes away.
That would actually be such a good diss as well.
For real.
Like, think about it. You can diss somebody who doesn't know biology, and when they find out what that means.
Yeah. This is, like, a bit off topic, but I was, like, preparing random thoughts for when we do our next random thoughts segment, and the one thing that I realized is that threats don't have to be threatening to be threats. Listen,
you're not wrong. You are very much not wrong.
No, because listen, the way I realized this is when I was in my chemistry class, and I got the highest mark in my class, and this one dude said that, like, in the next theme, we needed to learn how to, like, basically differentiate different types of, like, chemical elements, and he was just like, the dude sitting behind me was just like, oh, I'm basically just gonna lick all of them to tell the difference, and I'm also gonna lick the person in front of me to gain their intelligence so I can get the highest grade next time, because he had like a 1 or a 3 or something. And I don't know, and I was basically threatened to be licked, and I don't know why that threatened me.
Was the guy hot?
Well, he was cute.
Well then, I guess.
Bestie, no. Bestie.
I'm desperate, okay?
Oh my god. Yeah. You desperate hoe.
Okay. It's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me quickly find a good one. Where is a good one? Okay, this is a good one. So, Shakespeare's epitaph contains a curse for grave robbers.
What?
Uh-huh. When William Shakespeare died at 52 years old on April 23, 1616, he was buried in a tomb that featured an epitaph meant to ward off grave robbers. Quote, good friend, for I've sake for bear to dig the twist enclosed here. Blessed be ye, man, yet spars the stones, and crust be he, yet moves my bones, end quote. Or more clearly, good friend, for Jesus' sake forbade, to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones.
Well, damn.
Yeah. Well, I'll be damned.
For real, if we rob the grave,
I know, I think we're both downed, regardless.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, like, Shakespeare was such an icon, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely iconic.
Like, I've read his Romeo and Juliet, albeit I read it in Latvian, and he has a whole page in that play dedicated to, like, one of the main characters, Romeo, and one of his friends, Mercutio, basically, and it basically includes Romeo calling his friend a goose. Just, like, what? Over and over and over again.
Huh.
Oh, maybe Shakespeare liked gooses, I don't know.
A geese. Okay.
Fuck you. The audacity!
I'd rather the play were more like Romeo and Romeo, or Juliet and Juliet. That would be cute. That would be more interesting, and I would actually.
Oh my god! Wait, Romeo and Julian!
Yes! We need. Oh my god, we need that.
Oh my god.
If theater was more gay, then obviously I would be more of a theater guy.
For real! And like, why are so many theater teachers very homophobic?
Right? Like, most theater kids are queer.
For real? Who do you think goes here? The gays!
The gays and the days.
For real. Jesus. So, my next fact is, an animal's yawn is based on how large their brain is. Basically, the bigger the brain, the longer the yawn.
Huh.
Maybe it counts for humans, too. You know.
You never know.
Yeah. How long are your yawns?
Depending on what mood I am and where I am. Like, it can be like, it can last from 2 seconds to a good 20 seconds.
For real. I just yawned when you were talking. It's okay. Not because it was boring listening to you. It's because I'm tired.
I know. Everybody is. It's, what, like 8 p.m.?
Yeah, and I had a long day.
Well, at least it's a school break next week.
Oh my god, yeah. I will do nothing but sleep.
Well, I have different plans, but I'll tell them later.
Okay. Oh! Okay, go on.
Okay. Now it's my turn. Okay, let's do this. I'll tell mine right now, and you tell yours, and then we will wrap things up.
Okay.
So, the queen owned all the swans in England. According to the British law, any unclaimed swan swimming in the open waters of England and Wales belonged to the Queen. The law originated in medieval times when swans were a delicacy for the wealthy, but it still stands today. Queen Elizabeth II also upholded a centuries-old tradition with the swans. Every year during the third week of July, all the swans in the river Thames are counted for the Queen in a practice called swan-upping.
Pop off.
I mean, yeah. Even in death, she still slays.
For real. She always has.
Like, she's an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment.
She will always be an icon.
Absolutely. Like, I just...
Like, damn.
I miss her. I miss her vibes.
Me too.
She was such a great queen. And K. Charles, I have nothing against them, but you know...
I know.
His choice of marriage was questionable.
Extremely.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of the British monarchy, I was at the bookstore the other day and I saw Prince Harry's book that he wrote.
Me too.
Yeah.
I saw it. Like, in theory, there is that book, technically, has so much to see about the royal family in it that it sparked an argument between the royals. Let's say that.
Yeah. Can you imagine how juicy it is?
I can only imagine. Well, technically, we can buy it, but who has the money?
I mean, we can, but do we want to?
Is it worth it? Is it worth, what was it, $19.99?
I didn't even check the price. I saw his face, and I was like, nope.
In the rose store that's next to the shop.
I saw it there.
Yeah, I saw it there, too. Wait, we both saw it.
Yeah, we did.
We were both together when we saw it. I checked the price. It was like 19.99 euros.
Jesus.
A bit expensive, but
the murder books I buy are cheaper.
Murder books? Now I'm intrigued. Okay. Your turn.
Okay, so, you know Cookie Monster, right?
Obviously.
Do you know his real name?
No, I don't.
It's Sid. Name? Yes.
Sid.
His real name is Sid.
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 It does not suit him.
It really doesn't. I was picturing, I don't know what I was picturing, honestly. Like, Hugo.
I was thinking more like Marcimus. Yeah.
When you're right, you're right.
That's interesting. Oh my god, I just watched Heartstopper. Like, I finished it. I feel so lonely. Like, I need a Nick in my life.
For real? Like, oh my god, when I saw it, oh my god.
I mean, I hope, I want to fall in love like Charlie did.
Oh, for real? Oh my god, did you see the scene on the beach?
I did! I loved it so much. Season 2 is coming out in, I think, September 2. It's not that far.
Yeah, and oh my god, this year is actually gonna be wild for content for me, because my favorite anime is getting a reboot this year, and I am very excited.
I heard about that.
You did?
A certain anime is getting a reboot. I forgot its name though, but I know my sister.
Toilet Bound Hanako-kun. Anyway.
Pardon?
Yes, my favorite anime and manga series, its name is Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, and it's about a ghost who's haunting the girls' bathroom. It's more interesting than it sounds.
That sounds...
No, but it's... Listen, I know you're judging me.
Slightly. But I can't really judge it that much.
It's so good.
I'm not really an anime fan. I'm not a weeb.
I know. You're more of a cartoon guy.
Yeah, I love cartoons so much. Mm-hmm. They're so good and so sweet. Like Steven Universe, Gravity Falls, Amphibia, The Owl House.
Oh, oh my God. Don't even get me started on Steven Universe.
I grew up with Steven Universe. Like it was
me
so
too.
Good.
Oh my God! I recently saw I saw a video on TikTok where it was basically like Ruby and Sapphire's wedding.
Yeah, I know, that was such a good episode.
And I cried and I felt so lonely.
And also the movie was so good.
Oh my God!
I loved it.
Okay, oh my God. I guess this is it for this week.
I guess it is. I mean, thank you all for coming, for joining us today as we talked about some weird facts, our literal obsessions with anime and cartoons and Heartstopper, and...
Mm-hmm. Us being incredibly lonely.
Exactly. There are links in the description, in the episode notes, wherever you're listening, there are links to our the podcast Instagram, our personal Instagrams, my YouTube channel. Go subscribe.
Ooh.
And the podcast YouTube too. We just don't have anything for now on it because we are still trying to figure out the video part of, you know, our podcast. So, you know, that's happening in the future sometime. I don't know when, though.
We'll figure it out.
We will figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all for listening, and we will, hopefully, see you next week.
Probably.
Bye-bye.
Bye.